Good evening, everybody. Hey, glad to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. Yeah, well, look at this wonderful group that we have here. I'll tell you what, folks are hungry. Folks have come ready to pray. You're just hungry for all that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to see you. Did you come ready and rowdy tonight? Amen. You know, we're not here just to be quiet or just, you know, be tired from our day. Let's make sure to turn it up and give God our best. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements. Children's ministries and cleaning schedules, they are available for pickup at the reception desk. So if you serve in those ministries, go ahead, pick up your schedule. That would be a blessing. Anything else I have to talk about, we're going to save it for the message here tonight. And of course, are you ready for Wednesday night word and prayer, right? And so what we're going to do, of course, we're going to preach a shorter message, and then we're going to use the rest of the time here tonight to pray. I'll tell you what, we're getting closer to that 200 number. Amen. You know, we're going to just keep pushing for that. Imagine you have 200 of God's people together praying. This already would be the largest weekly prayer gathering, you know, in our region. So let's just keep it up. Amen. Remind other folks in the church, be here Wednesday nights, get together, pray as a church. It'll just be a blessing to you and to your family. Amen. All right, singers, come on over. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just lift our hands. Let's praise Him. Folks, let's just stir ourselves up right now. Father, we glorify You tonight. We magnify You. Father, You are so good. We praise You. We worship You. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Worship You, Jesus. The sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me with His love.
Chosen.
just worship you tonight. We glorify you. Come on, everybody. Let's lift our voices. Let's praise him. If you believe you're a child of God, go ahead and tell him. Father, we glorify you tonight. And Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We praise you. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lord, Father, you are the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're our living Father. We praise you and worship you. And Lord, since we're in your house, that means every need is met. Father, you are abundant towards us. You're our Savior. You're our healer, our provider, our protector. We lack no good thing. Father, we are the redeemed of the Lord. Father, we are co-heirs with Christ. Father, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be sad. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be broke and poor. Father, we praise you and worship you. Father, we don't have to be orphans. We don't have to be lost. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We don't have to be confused in this life, and we don't have to be defeated, not ever. And so, Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, you are holy and good. We come hungry for your word. We come to seek your face. Father, we come to see you move mightily in the city of Jamestown. Father, we come to see you move mightily in this region. And Father, we just give you all the praise tonight. Father, we're hungry for the Holy Ghost. We desire the manifestations of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit of God. Father, we're going to do everything you have for us. And Lord, we just praise you. We worship you. Father, we hunger for the word. We receive it with joy tonight. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen and amen. Hey, before you're seated, find two or three people. Let them know that you're glad to see them here tonight. What a great group we have here tonight. It's just so good to see everyone here. You hungry for the word? Praise the Lord. You ready to build the altar here at Family Church in 2020? Amen. Well, we're excited about it. And that's, of course, right where we're going to start here tonight. You can go in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to get over there in just a few moments. But we're going to talk about building the altar of God. Of course, you remember several weeks back, we started to introduce the vision that the Lord has given this church for the roaring 20s. Amen. This church is going to be a church and is to a degree. But of course, we're going to take this even higher, where this is going to be a church filled with soaring praise, roaring worship. Amen. You know that we have some changes coming up here, you know, at the church. You know that we are adding a choir to the church. We're excited about that. Just more power, more voices. You know, we just say this is just going to be a full gospel cathedral. Amen. And just fill these rafters with the praises of God, where it's not just the worship team, it's not just a choir, but it's from the front seat to the back seat, side to side, everybody participating. Of course, you know, we're going to have a complete upgrade to our platform, our sanctuary, our sound equipment. We also have some changes coming to the narthex and also some, you know, maintenance, you know, things that we need to do on the property. It's amazing. Coming April 4th will be our 10-year anniversary in this building. Amen. The years are flying by. This building still seems brand new to me, and it's, of course, doing great. But just over the course of time, how many of you know you got to maintain some things? And so what we're going to do, we're going to be building the altar. We're not investing in, you know, programs. We're not investing in other things. We're investing in the praise and the worship, the altar, the excellence here at the church, so that when people come to this place, they know that it's about the Lord first and foremost. It's about His praises. It's about His word. It's about His spirit. It's a place where lives are changed. It's a place where excellence, you know, is a priority. Amen. And so we're going to be building that altar. You can see right there in your seats with you, of course, to do this, folks, we're going to need to, provide for the house of God. Amen. And we told you that several weeks ago. We, of course, have been talking, you know, to professionals, you know, people that are going to do the work, you know, in this sanctuary. And we have a wonderful blank slate here to work with. We're going to be making it not just look excellent, but sound excellent, and also, you know, provide some much needed, you know, maintenance, you know, for the building. We're going to be adding sound equipment. We need a new soundboard. We need some new lights. We need a bunch of sound equipment, actually. We need, you know, some equipment for the narthex and so on. And this is going to be the biggest project that we have done here at Family Church since the building of the building itself, all right? And we're going to strive for the highest goal that we have ever done for a fundraiser here at the church. We're going to shoot for $100,000 that we're going to raise. And you know what? We get to do that. It's not like, oh, we have to do it. You know, and I've had people say to me, Pastor, you know, how come, you know, it seems like we do this all the time? Well, you know, we didn't do anything last year. There wasn't, you know, when there's a need, we do it. When there's a leading, we do it. When there's not, we don't. Last year, we didn't do anything. The year before, we had the playground. And now we have, you know, some needs, you know, for the house of the Lord. And it is a joy to participate in that. Amen. And so we're saying over the next 3 months that we're going to raise $100,000. Any of these upgrades that we're making, we're not going to be taking a loan for them. The church isn't going in debt. It's all right here. Amen. You know, and everyone can simply just pray about what their participation level is. There's never any pressure. We don't come and talk to people personally and say, hey, what are you doing or anything. We just announce it to the church family, and we as a family get to provide for it ourselves. And when God has a need, I'll tell you what, just like that day when Jesus, you know, on Palm Sunday, when he rode into Jerusalem, he told his disciples, he said, go find a man that has that donkey and that young colt and just take them, you know. And so they were grand larcenists, stealing a car for Jesus, and they were just taking this man's donkey, and the man turned around and said, hey, what are you doing? And remember what Jesus told him. He said, if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord has need. And so the disciples turned to him and said, the Lord has need of this. And the man did not question. He did not argue. He did not bicker, giving us the idea that God had already spoken in that man's heart. And that man had a heart to say, if the Lord needs it, he gets it. Amen. And folks, you know, as I've done in times past, my wife and I, you know, we don't believe as pastors that we should just lead these efforts without participating in these efforts. If this is something that we're going to do as a church family, I understand my place in trying to do the best I've ever done, or my wife and I and our family has ever done. And so, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was 3 years ago, we did this thing called Spend the Pastor's Money. And my wife and I made a pledge to match your pledges and your donations for whatever we were doing at the time up to a certain amount. And it was, you know, everything that we had on hand in terms of cash. And so my wife and I, we are going to do that again. This year, we're going to be giving, you know, the biggest gift that we have ever given in our life. And it's just basically everything cash-wise that we have on hand. And we're going to match everybody's donation. So if you give $10, you know, we'll give $10. You know, if you give $100, we'll give $100. If you give $1,000, we'll give $1,000, you know. And so your gifts will be doubled, basically, up to a certain level. All right, and that level is $21,000. what my wife and I have to put towards this. And so that's basically all of our cash. We have other investments and, you know, belongings and stuff like that. But that's the cash that we have. We're not doing or saying this to ever, you know, boast or to... But I just love when a family rallies, and I just believe that pastors should try their absolute best to lead the way in giving. I would not preach this without practicing it. And so that right there, I say, so if we do that and people, you know, get inspired and that money goes that quick, that's instantly over 40% of this already taken care of. All right. And I just believe that the rest of the family, you know, we can knock out $100,000 real quick. And, you know, it's very, you know, important for me as a pastor to explain when my wife and I do this, it's because this is where our heart is. We're not doing this to, you know, be better pastors or whatever. We just do it to show you that when God's house is doing something, that's the best opportunity. And you know what? You can never give God too much. You know, you can never outgive God. Where everybody's at different levels. Everyone's at different places. We have a green envelope there. And no, it's not green because of money. You know why they're green? Because that's the only other color we had besides whatever's in your seats with you, all right? I just thought of that. We didn't make them green to correspond with money or anything like that. But you'll find the Build the Altar envelope there in your seat with you. You know, there's no rush on anything. You can take it home, pray, see what the Lord would have you to do. You know, I'm excited. Again, this is the biggest project that we've had since the building was built. It's going to look, you know, excellent for the Lord. It's going to sound excellent. And also, it's going to keep up on this building. We're 10 years into it already. And so take that home. You know, if there's an amount you can give, great. Or if you just want to pledge it up front, if you know it's something you can do, but you want to help the church by allowing the church to know ahead of time, you know, what it could count on, you can do that. And you can just simply put this in the any offering at any one of the services. Praise the Lord. But if you don't give it, we're not giving it. All right? And so I encourage you, not because, you know, I'm trying to be administrative or anything like that. I encourage you, get involved with God. Get involved with His house. Amen. You are, of course, you're the Wednesday night group. You're so faithful, and, you know, you're making things happen around here. Let's just get this done. Let's just get it knocked out and watch God move in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. It reminds me of the early church. Have you ever read the last few verses there of Acts chapter 4 when they said any of the possessions that they had, they were not their own, but they had all things in common? Those that has houses and lands, they sold them and brought the price thereof to the local church. Amen. And that early church had a revival, but so many times, you know, people want to talk about the revival of receiving. But in the early church, when miracles, signs, and wonders were happening, there was a revival of giving. A revival of giving. Because when the grace of God is in our midst, the grace of God, what? Loves to give. Amen. And of course, when we sow, we know that reaping does happen. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Have you found 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Tonight, I'm going to call this message Prayer, Building a Better Home Life. And we're going to relate prayer to the home life and how it affects it and how it relates to that. Go over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to start there in verse 2. Last week, of course, we had 7 or 8 people get filled with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We're excited about that. You know, over the last couple weeks, 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, we taught a message called Prayer is Refreshing. Prayer does not wear us down. We're not too tired to pray. We're not, you know, too, well, that doesn't refresh me. I need my rest, so I can't pray. I got to go watch TV instead. How many of you know prayer is more refreshing than TV? Prayer is more refreshing than Facebook. Prayer is not to be eliminated by your busy schedule and all the things you're doing. You know, come on now. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, last week we talked about praying fervently, both in our natural language and also praying in the Holy Ghost. And we need to do that. When we pray, we got to bring some action, you know, bring some effort to it and not just pray like you're bored. Pray like you mean it. And then, of course, Sunday we taught a message called Get Some Fire. You know, have some fire when you come before God's presence. You know, the scripture mentions it over and over. Hebrews 4:14, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Come boldly. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When you go before God, you go boldly like you belong there. You have confidence in knowing that you're heard. You stand there as a child of Abraham, as a son or daughter of God. You know who you are. Amen. And you stand there and you receive by faith. Praise the Lord. Now, tonight we're going to keep on going, and we're going to also, you know, focus on praying in the Holy Ghost and what it does for us and how it affects the home life. Amen. Because, folks, I'll tell you what, you're not the only one living off your prayer life. All right, there's kids, you know, there's extended family that are living off your prayer life and your faith. And so you need to understand how that is related. The home is about what you pursue together as a family. The home is about what you pursue together. Everything that God designed comes down to unity. All right? Whether it's the church, unity, all right, is essential. Whether it's a marriage, unity is essential. The home, unity is essential. If you're in a running a business, unity is essential. And unity is simply this: pursuing the same things together. That's what a local church is. We are here to pursue the same things together. All right? In a home, you and your children, you and your spouse and your children are to pursue the same things together. And that's what leadership is, and that's what leadership does. Leadership is always presenting to the family what should be pursued and what should be the priorities. Amen. See, kids are learning early that their homes pursue many different things, and God in church is just another thing amongst many things to pursue. They need to learn and know from day one that they pursue God and the things of church first and foremost above everything else. Amen. See, leadership is always keeping what we are to pursue in front of us. Homes and your families need you to be examples to your children. Amen. Just like churches need leadership, people that are keeping priorities constantly in front of us, constantly reminding what, you know, we are chasing or pursuing together. And when people in, you know, a local church start pursuing different things, the church starts to break down. You know, when married couples, when one of them or both of them start to pursue different things, you know, there's a breakdown in unity, and now the trouble happens. All of a sudden, your kids start to grow up, and they start pursuing different things other than the priorities that was set in front of them. Trouble is going to happen. And listen, all the things in life that are going on, all the extracurricular activities cannot be compared to a family that makes, you know, God and His house the focal point of their life. If you don't, you will go through a lot of unnecessary trials. Your children will grow up to pursue something else that is fruitless and meaningless. What we pursue here is eternal. What we pursue together, and it's not just a family church clique or something. Every local church should have a strong sense of unity. See, we're seeking the Word here together. We're pursuing praise and worship here together. And the more we all jump in and participate, the more that God can do in our midst. The more you pursue things together in your home, the more God can, you know, participate. You know, Jesus said that a house dividing against itself cannot stand. And a lot of times we think a house divided is just a house that is fighting and arguing or threatening divorce and things. You know, there's other ways a house can be divided. A house that's like, well, we got church over here, and we got sports over here. Well, we got some God time over here, but we got all this over here. It's nothing wrong with pursuing some of those things at a moderate level. nothing wrong with having, you know, your kids play some sports in life and enjoying things. But what is going to give way? You know, what are you going to bend to make room for the priorities? You know, let the extracurricular things bend, you know, to the house of God and the priority of God. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. And if you're a good leader in your home, you will constantly put it before your family that the things of God are always going to be first and foremost. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Have you found 1 Corinthians chapter 14? And now we don't have a whole lot of time in the Word, and so we got to get moving with it. All right. Let's go to verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14:2. And of course, why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Why are we Spirit-filled people? What is the purpose of being filled with the Spirit? Now, a lot of people, their first answer would be, well, the purpose of being filled with the Spirit is so that we can speak in other tongues. That is a purpose. That is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if that is all the purpose of it, then we've missed what it's really for. Jesus says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, we are standing in the uttermost parts of the earth here tonight. And so the filling of the Spirit was given to us for boldness to go out and win the lost. Because if you're wondering where evangelism starts, it starts right there in that seat with you. If we don't win people personally to the Lord, the couple people that get saved every week here, we're grateful for it. But that will never make a dent into the lost community that we need to reach. Amen. So we're filled with the Spirit for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of evangelism. All right. Also, the second purpose that we're filled with the Spirit is for unity. We are filled with the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost, He takes all of us, all of our different backgrounds, all of our different, you know, skill sets and talents and desires, and our different, you know, church backgrounds or lack of church backgrounds, you know, men, women, people of all races and creeds, all different, you know, walks of life, and He makes us all fit together. He takes all of us and our different personalities, and now we all come together in this place to pursue the same things together. Amen. Of course, you remember Psalm 133. You know, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, and it goes on to say it's like the anointment that was on Aaron, that was poured upon Aaron and ran down to his beard and to the uttermost, the ends of his garments. But remember over there, that's only three verses in Psalm 133. And verse 3 says, it is like the dew of Hermon. All right? Not the Reverend's Hermans that we have in our Erie church. But we know that that is a reference to the anointing of God. And of course, verse 2 says, it is like the precious ointment or the anointing. The anointing is a reference to the Spirit of God. He comes to fill us so that we get eager to see souls saved, and the Holy Ghost fills us so that we are unified together. Amen. Unity is one of the highest purposes of the Spirit. So go to 1 Corinthians 14, and let's look at verse 2. Now we're going to get some different ideas of how praying in other tongues can affect the unity in our home, the unity in our church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 2. It says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Can we bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Do we have the Amplified here tonight? Can we bring that up? I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue. See, there's a reason why the Scripture calls it an unknown tongue, because it means it's not a language of man. All right? If it was German or Spanish or Chinese or something, it would be a known language. And so you understand, you know, for those people that came up and got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, they weren't being given human languages. They were given what the Bible calls unknown tongues. It's not to speak to people, meaning people don't understand it. It says, "For he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one, no man, no person understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." So taking time to pray in other tongues or unknown tongues increases the amount of truth in your life. It unveils things that you could not naturally know in your human mind. Glory to God. It makes you aware, or you could say it this way, it reaches things that you could not have had any other way. You know, when you pray in other tongues, all of a sudden it gets into a realm, it gets you into a place that where God has things for you that you could not have gotten into any other way. Just praying in English will not access the things that praying in the Spirit will access. And if you eliminate praying in tongues from your life, you are eliminating plans, you are eliminating hidden things. You could say it this way, hidden treasures. Every time you are praying in the Spirit, you're taking time to pray in other tongues, you are on a treasure hunt. It might not feel like a treasure hunt. Your body won't like it. Your mind won't like it. But in the Spirit, you are revealing things that are hidden to you naturally. Glory to God. So tonight when we pray, what kind of hidden things are going to become available to us? What hidden things, what things are hidden to not only this church, but to this city? This city needs a group of believers somewhere that are unveiling the hidden truths that God has planned for this city since the foundations of this earth. But if no one gets into it, those things what? They remain hidden. What things are hidden in the Spirit for your children, mom and dad? What things will, because kids on their own, up until a certain age, they will not be able to discover these things without your supply, mom and dad. And if mom and dad aren't praying in the Holy Ghost, I can tell you what, there's going to be hidden things that their kids will never walk into. Ooh, praise the Lord. See, an active prayer life will draw out the unknowns. Draw out the unknowns. Of course, praying in the Holy Ghost, it turns mysteries into revelations, all right? It turns no knowledge into abundant knowledge. Glory to God. See, when you're praying in other tongues, your mind is out of it, your flesh is out of it. You're not talking to people now. You're talking in a language that only God understands. What a benefit. See, because you don't understand it. The person next to you doesn't understand it. And here's the good news. The devil doesn't understand it. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Prayer is what reaches things that cannot be had any other way. Go down there to verse 14 in the same chapter. Praise God. So what things are hidden for this community that we can start discovering every Wednesday night? What things are hidden to your family that you can start discovering if you will set aside time to pray in the Holy Ghost? What if, you know, Jesus came down on a cloud and he pointed you to a big open field and he said, you know what, there's treasure hidden in this field. Abundant treasure. It's something that is life-changing treasure. And said, here's a shovel. What you have to do is go dig for it. How many of you know you would take that shovel and you'd get digging? And every hole you dig would not have treasure in it, so to speak, or it wouldn't feel like there's treasure in it. But all of a sudden, because you spent the time digging long enough, you're going to come into it. That's what praying in the Holy Ghost is. It doesn't always feel spectacular, but the Bible says it is discovering the unknowns. Remember when Jesus said, heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a field? You know, with treasure in it. You know, how many of you know back there in Genesis chapter 2, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, it says in that land, the land of Havilah, there was gold, and the gold of that land was good. Notice he did not put the gold on a silver platter and say, "Here, Adam." He said, "Hey, Adam, there's gold out there. There's things that are hidden from you. If you will put forth the effort and show me that it means something to you to look." See, that's what prayer is. It's showing God it means enough to you that you will look for it. He's telling you right here in the scripture, "I've hidden things for you." And if the hidden things of God mean something to you, you'll dig for it. See, why did those guys, you know, back in the day, why did they discover all that oil in East Texas? Why did they discover all that oil in Western Pennsylvania? Because you know what? It meant enough to somebody to look for it. And it was the ones that looked for it are the ones that benefited from it. Amen. Glory to God. Go to verse 14. So just think, when you're praying, just, you know, to me, it helps me in my mind. As I'm just praying and my mind's kind of out of gear. No, of course, we're talking about praying in the Spirit here tonight. When you pray in your known language, that's fine too. Your mind is engaged to that. You know, but you will be very limited if you only pray in your known language. There'll be things that will stay hidden from you if you don't learn to pray in the Spirit. All right, look at verse 14. Go down to verse 14. Praise the Lord. He says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." We're in the Amplified. I'll read it here up on the screen. Paul says this, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody." Here's what you must know about praying in tongues. Your mind is not included. Your mind is not let in on what is being said and done. Your mind is eliminated or bypassed from the situation. Praise the Lord. God is so smart. He's like, "I know what I got to do. I just got to get their mind out of the equation. I got to give them something that will, you know, that's why it comes out of your spirit, comes out of your mouth, it never gets up to your brain." All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, keep going in verse 15. You can leave it right in the Amplified. It says, Paul the Apostle says, "And what am I to do?" He says, "I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me," in other tongues, right? Didn't he already say that in verse 2? He says, "But I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding." So notice there's prayer in the spirit and prayer in your known language. You should bring fervency to both of them. All right, to both of them. Pray all that you know how in English. And then after 5 minutes, when that runs out, because I don't know about you, but our minds aren't nearly as deep as the Holy Ghost. Okay, you got to pray in tongues. He says, "I will pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit." So notice you don't only speak or pray in other tongues, you can sing in other tongues. You know, I've noticed this for me. It seems like when I get to praying, and as I pray in other tongues, all of a sudden I just seem to break into singing in other tongues. I'm not saying you couldn't just, you know, of course you can. You could just sing in other tongues whenever you want. But I've just noticed this, that I start out praying in tongues, and a lot of times I end up singing in tongues. You know, and again, I don't try to make that happen. You certainly can. You can make that happen if you want. But I've just noticed for me personally, it seems like I don't start out singing, but I end up singing. Praise the Lord. So notice you can sing in the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. You can pray in other tongues. You can sing in other tongues. And I believe they're related. I believe that when we are singing, of course, the Holy Ghost is giving us that song to sing unto the Lord. And I believe even as you sing in the Spirit, it's still unveiling things that are hidden. Amen. He says, "By the Holy Spirit that is within me," he says, "but I will also sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also." How many of you know we were singing tonight intelligently? All right. But there's going to be times as we, you know, seek God together, as we're praying in the Spirit, we may sing in the Holy Ghost. You are welcome and encouraged to do so. Praise the Lord. See, an active prayer life like this will draw out those things that are hidden from you, hidden from your kids, you know, hidden in your family, hidden in your church. But if you aren't taking time for it, those things are going to go, they're going to go undiscovered. You know, they're going to sit out there in that field, and, you know, you will have never gotten out there to dig it up. I guarantee you, if someone walked up to you and said, hey, I want to, you've inherited this land, and rumor is that great Uncle George, who, you know, gave you this land and his inheritance, he buried lots of money, you know, on that land. We know it's here somewhere. You just got to look for it. I guarantee you take a little look around. You'd probably invest in a metal detector or something. I'm telling you, that's exactly. Have you ever used one of those metal detectors? You ever heard, you know, me and my brother-in-law, you know, when there was a family vacation that we would take down North Carolina, and my other brother-in-law from North Carolina, he had brought over a metal detector on the beach, and me and Matt, of course, we had to take that thing out, and, you know, we were all, you know, excited, like, hey, we're at night when everyone goes to bed, we'll just go out there on the beach in the dark, and we'll give that thing a look around, and maybe who knows what you'll find. Oh, we found some treasure, all right. Man, we got a treasure trove of beer caps, tent stakes, hair clips. You know, it was really awesome. It was great. You know, when I was a school teacher, I worked with another teacher who was telling me this story that while they were on a beach in Florida, they were sitting there and they didn't have a metal detector. Or did she? I don't remember. Okay, the details are fuzzy, so anyway. That while they were on the beach, they discovered in the sand this, like, large diamond ring, you know, and it was quite valuable, you know, and they were, see, with stories like that that were inspiring us on the beach. And so, long story short, that no one claimed it or anything, and so eventually their daughter got engaged, and her fiancé took that ring and took the diamonds out of it and had a custom ring made, all right? And so they had some treasure. But if you've ever used one of those metal detectors, has anyone ever used one of those before, all right? You know, have you heard all the weird noises that come out of those things? They have different sounds for different metals, you know? And now they're trying to tell you how, like, deep that is in the earth. That don't work. You know, and 1 minute it's like, beep, 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 you know, all the weird noises that it makes. But you know what? Sometimes that weird noise comes across something and is letting you know that there's something of great value that you've discovered. Praying in other tongues is kind of a weird noise. But it's really wild illustration. But that's what it is. It's your spiritual metal detector. It is finding things. Amen. Glory to God. I got to show you this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Wasn't planning on going there. Say, Pastor, how does this relate to the family? I'm trying to get to that. My time is almost up. Next week, we might have to call the message, Building a Better Home Life Through Prayer. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, or excuse me, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. And where is this? Go down there. Starting in verse 10, and we're going to just read a few scriptures here just to show you what I'm talking about. Now, you got to go up to verse 9. And you know you've heard me preach on this verse before, and I've heard this verse quoted at so many funerals, and I understand, you know, nothing wrong with trying to be encouraged by the scripture, don't get me wrong. But it's so often misquoted. People think that verse 9 is talking about when you get to heaven. But how many of you know verse 9 is not about going to heaven? It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them. So what has God revealed? The things that I could not see ear could not hear. You could say it this way. He wants to reveal the hidden things. All right? God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For what does the Spirit do? The Holy Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. All right, so when you're praying in the Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's searching for things that are hidden for you. Go, praise God. See, now the metal detector illustration isn't as lame as you thought it was. It still kind of is. Especially the weird sounds part. But it makes sense in my mind. And it says this in verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" Now remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14? He says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays within me." Now notice what he says. What man will know the things of a man, the things that eye can't see and ear can't hear and mind can't conceive? What man will know the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows these things. He's going to communicate them to your spirit, all right? And of course, we know, Paul says, when I pray in other tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. You are on a treasure hunt. You are searching in that field. You are going to find things, amen, that you could not have known with your mind, things that you could not have seen with your eyes, things that you could not have heard with your ears. Come on now. If that does not make you want to pray in the Holy Ghost, I don't know what will. Well, go to Jude verse 20. We'll end here, and we'll get ready to pray. And this is where it's going to come back to connecting to your family. Again, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, there's going to be things not only for you that stay hidden, but things that stay hidden to your children. You know, opportunities stay hidden. Things in the Spirit that God has, you know, the promises and the blessings of God. You know, and now you understand why the devil has fought the church so hard on this doctrine for not only hundreds but thousands of years, literally, to keep this out of the hands of Christians. Wow. Go to Jude verse 20. Back there, the second to last book of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation, it's just that one chapter book. Go to verse 20. And, of course, the King James says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? And remember, Paul already defined what praying in the Holy Ghost is. Praying in unknown tongues. Okay? Bring this up in the Amplified Bible, if you would. Boy, our time just goes so fast. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded," or with the foundation, "on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." Come on, let that verse sink in for a moment. I know we've preached about it many, many times. How are you going to grow in God? You're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice this. When you are praying in other tongues, you are a builder. Let me say that again. When you're praying in other tongues, you are building something. Literally in the Greek, and that's why the Amplified is saying this, you know, make progress, rise like an edifice. What is an edifice? It's a strong building or tower. All right, imagine, you know, the temple in Jerusalem, or, you know, back in the day, or like the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. That's an edifice. It is a stone, unmovable, very strong building or fortress. All right? Notice you are a builder when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And how many of you know for a builder that the action of building is not always, you know, fun? Meaning it doesn't always just entertain the flesh. How many of you know, like a masonry worker or whatever, they might just be doing a lot of mundane tasks. They might be, you know, putting down the mortar and stacking the brick and the mortar and the brick and the mortar. And how many of you know there's a lot of routine in that? But at the end of it, what you have is something that is immovable. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you are building your future. You are building your kids' future. You are building your church's future. You are building something the devil can't move. And if the church does not pray in the Spirit, they will never collectively build something that the devil can't move. Oh, come on now. All right. Yes, it's like building a brick building, something that's unmovable, praying in the Spirit. All right. Now, this is where we're going to end. If we have time, we may have to revisit these next week. Four things that you are building when you're praying in the Holy Ghost based on just the scriptures we've gotten to here tonight. All right. Number one, you are building faith. You are founded on your most holy faith. Your faith is the foundation of your life. And if you are not strengthening it, you are going to be more easily shaken. Remember, we're not like 007. He likes his martinis shaken, not stirred, right? Now, Christians, we don't drink martinis, but we are stirred, not shaken. All right? And what happens? When somebody who never prays in the Holy Ghost, they're going to be more easily shaken. What does that mean? They're going to feel the troubles more. They're going to feel the troubles. Troubles come to every single person in this life, but we all don't have to feel them the same. We don't have to shake the same. You know, the big, powerful oak tree is moved a lot less by the storm than the, you know, the weeds. You know, the tumbleweeds are just blowing around with everything. You know, a lot of Christians are more like tumbleweeds than they are oak trees. But if you're built up, and if you have a stronger foundation, or you could say it this way, your roots are deeper. Glory to God. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds faith because the mind of man is completely bypassed. There is nothing about praying in other tongues that the flesh can understand or comprehend. So therefore, praying in tongues is a complete act of faith. No flesh or mental understanding is involved at all. So it's got to be pure faith because it doesn't sound right to you sometimes. It doesn't look right. It isn't something that you naturally, you know, understand. And so you do it simply because of what it says in here. So now it is a pure act of faith that grows the foundation that you are built on. And you've heard this illustration. Pastor Michael, he gave it, and I think it's just an awesome illustration. Let's say that you had sand, you know, that you were going to pour over the top of this iPad. How many of you know you could pour sand? It would, you know, pile up on here only to a point before it starts falling off. All right. And if you wanted more sand on there, you'd have to enlarge the platform. Okay. You know, something the size of this, you know, pulpit top could hold a lot more sand. See, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, your foundation is getting bigger. All right, that means God can pour more on you and more is going to stick to you instead of it just falling off. All right, praise the Lord, building faith. Here's the second thing, are you ready? Build safety. Now, like I already said, it makes unknown things known. We talked about the treasures that praying in the Spirit will discover. What about the dangers it will protect you from? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It brings to light hidden dangers. Now here's where it connects to the family. Are you ready? A parent is the ultimate supply to a child. The parent has the highest responsibility and the primary anointing for the children. Children do not possess the ability to keep themselves safe, so this rests upon the parent. Boy. It builds faith. your children on their own until they get to a certain point will not build faith by themselves. They will not be able to protect themselves. Praying in the Holy Ghost not only reveals good things in store for us, but it makes known things that could have hurt us or harmed us. All right? It gives us a way to avert danger. Boy, it sure is quiet in here tonight. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to allow your kids to see you pursuing God as your ultimate pursuit. Children must see their parents pray. They must see dad and mom leading the family in God things together. Praise the Lord. Parents need to understand that praying in the Spirit doesn't just affect their life or their finances. All right, it is revealing things that are trying to harm your kids. It's revealing things that are trying to pull them off the track, you know, the things of God in the future. Oh, here's the third thing, and I got to get ready to stop right here because we're going to have to just have a short little intermission, and then we're going to pray. And I know we really need to extend Wednesday night word and prayer from 8 to 8:05. It just seems like 8:05 seems to be the magic number here on Wednesday nights. let's end here. Here's a third thing that praying in the Spirit does for you and your family. It builds an eternal mindset. It builds an eternal mindset. And this just might be the most significant benefit of prayer, of consistent prayer, an eternal mentality, an awareness of the big picture. Come on now. To prove things that are priority in your life. See, people that pray in the Spirit are the ones that are less moved, they are less troubled, they stay away from pettiness, they stay away from drama, they are less emotional. Our time is up. There's so many things I want to go into. See, so many Christians, they're drawn into worry by such small things. They get twisted in their minds because they have an earthly mindset. But when you see, praying in the Spirit makes you more aware of God. It makes you aware of how He sees your issues. And all of a sudden, that thing that you thought was big is now just a small issue. It's no big deal. Because now you have an eternal mindset. All of a sudden, you start to see things in your family that aren't priority anymore. All of a sudden, you start to see what heaven sees. And all of a sudden, you know, all the extracurricular running around just isn't as important anymore. Come on now. Praise the Lord. You know, Reverend Vanessa, she sent me this quote just today. I thought it was awesome, and I think it just fits in here. And I don't think anyone could say it any better than this. It says, church should be your excuse for missing everything else. Church should be your excuse for missing everything else. Why does everything in the things of God bend to people's extra activities in life? It's always the God things that miss out. You better reverse that. It's people with an eternal mindset, they don't take such priority in insignificant stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. You get something out of that? Glory to God. And number four, what we were going to talk about, I just will say it, we won't get to teach much on it. It builds the future. It builds the future. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're building something. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're treasure hunting. You know, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're revealing that things that your mind could have never conceived, eye and ear could not have ever seen or heard. Thank God. Are you ready to go look for some hidden things here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do, we're just going to go ahead and take up our offering now as opposed at the end of prayer time. So gentlemen, if you want to come forward, let's go ahead and sow into the house of God. And then what we're going to do, we're going to take a 5-minute intermission. I'm going to jump right into prayer, and I'll give you some basic instructions, and we will have at it. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, we thank you that you have equipped us. You have given us the Holy Ghost to win souls, to bring unity. Father, to pray in the Spirit and to unveil hidden things, things that would bless us, and also to avert things that would try to harm us. Thank you, Lord God. It keeps us safe. For Lord, we understand that being in a strong edifice is a safe place to be. Father, we'll move less, we'll be less emotional, but we'll be less worried and concerned about things in life. Father, we'll have an eternal mindset. We'll see things that are priority. We'll see the big picture. And Father, we just give you all the praise tonight. We give you all the glory. Father, we love to sow into your house.